jumping into lagoon. Family searches for body.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome, sir.
I saw the video yesterday, and initially I thought it was a movie being shot. Because it just came, you know, and I just saw it and dismissed it immediately. Then I took a second look and discovered that it was for real. This is a this is a reflection of where we are now in this country, and it shows a lot of things. One of the things that it shows is shows how far down we have pushed our youth. Okay, how far down we have pushed the youth almost to a point of despair. And that would probably make people appreciate not just my reaction to that governor's appointment of his son as commissioner or whatever he was, but also why I'm going to have a program today at 9 o'clock on that. We have pushed our youth almost to the limit. So what do we have? We have recurring violence. Okay? We have recurring violence. We have so many youth being recruited to do Yahoo Yahoo and all kinds of things. We have a lot of angry youth. And the second thing that he has done, and all our elite are complicit in this and those who rule us, is that it has made us have a complete disregard for human life. And that is exhibited here. How a man would be calm enough to put up a camera and shoot a scene where somebody actually spends about half a minute sitting on the railing and then jump into the water, and you are able to lean over and take a shot of that incident, it baffles me even as a journalist. How the gentleman who was filming this thing was so devoid of human feeling, you didn't hear him shout or even make an attempt to, or make any form of attempt at all to stop this gentleman. He was more interested in filming this incident. And I'm happy for him. I'm being sarcastic here, just in case people don't understand. I hope he gathers a sense of achievement of what he has done. All of us should be shedding tears this morning, and we should be shaking our head. The message this tells me, and should tell all of us, is that if we continue to run this country, both at political and at social level, we are going to be completely decimated. I want you to go back later in the evening when you get back home, in the sanctity of your home, whilst you've just finished your prayers, to look at this video again and ask yourself, I'm talking to our elites mainly now, ask yourself, what have I contributed to have made this man jump, number one, make the man jump into the lagoon? Fair enough, you say that could happen, but it would also make the guy filming it calm enough to take a clear shot. Honest to God, I thought it was part of a movie. Honest to God, I thought it was part of a movie. It's a very, very sad. This is the child of somebody. This is the father of a young child who has taken his own life in this manner. The photograph here is very sharp. You can see he's quite determined. He has given up. What have we contributed? We should ask ourselves, what provisions, apart from the normal newspaper media presence, we have governor doing this and that, what have we done in actual terms for the youth? I cornered one of the youths yesterday, and he was asking me, why do you want to do this and that? Yeah, attacking this and that. I'm not attacking anybody. As a young 19-year-old, I saw an advert in the Daily Times. University of Benin were looking for undergraduates. And out of sheer, with that kind of confidence that, look, I had done my A-levels, my three papers, whatever. Anyway, I applied. There was no jam then. And lo and behold, a week later, somebody called my attention that your name is in the papers. You've been admitted in University of Benin. And I packed my bag and baggage and headed for the university without knowing anybody. The same cannot be said today. We have run this country aground completely. We have decimated our youth. You want to appoint 10 judges. 4 are children of current judges. The 5th one is a sibling. You have 5 to go. Only God knows who the other five are. You wanted to recruit people into the central bank, the same thing. It was the son of senator this, the son of this one that. Even for us to have to the 774 local government jobs that we said we are going to provide for the youth, it ended up in so much disagreement and, you know, and then to crown it all in the full glare of everybody, without a wimp from any of the elite in the state, none of the high chiefs that we know, well-dressed, not one, not even in the opposition, did we hear a voice. A governor appoints his own son, not just as an SSA, but puts him in charge of contracts. Your guess is as good as mine. If this is the country that we want to live in, good luck to us. Let's take the next story.
Yes, let's do. Page 2 of the Punch, where with the Punch. Hashtag North is bleeding protest. FG under attack as DSS police disperse arrest demonstrators. That's hashtag North is bleeding protest. FG under attack as DSS police disperse arrest demonstrators.
The same thing. The same thing. This has been long time coming, and finally the chicken has come home to roost. The strategy of not allowing Okada riders operate in the northern states has finally not worked. Because if you think deeply, you will know that the mass movement of Okada riders from the north down to the south, with the kind of bikes that went along with it, somebody had devised a plan to decongest that state of possible rioters and whatever. Your guess is as good as mine. We know what is happening. We said it. We told our own authorities here, what you're seeing coming is an army in the making. I hope we don't bear the consequences of that movement. But that's a story for another day. But it was long time coming. Because you see, a lot of us here make so much, we say, oh, we're being marginalized, we're being this, we're being that. What you don't know is that the suffering in the north, the way I knew it, I don't know about, I haven't been there for a while, is about 5 times that of the south. Forget that you find northerners in places of authority and places where, of course, you know, all kinds of things. But it stays with the leadership. It stays with how many industries do you have? How many? You need to see the hordes of unemployed, uneducated, unexposed, extremely angry. An army in waiting. Now it has finally come. We are now going to overstretch our security personnel. Only God can save us in this country. And we are all complicit. Let us see what the story says here. There's been a petition seeking a state of emergency in Sokoto, Zamfara, Katsina, and other states in the north has gathered 28,000 signatures on change.org on Wednesday. This is just the beginning. The petition, which was started by one Al-Hanislam on Monday, called on Buhari to secure northern lives. Of course, there is bound to be insecurity. There is bound. It couldn't have been going on. You top ones buy your Rolls Royces and whatever, ram it down people, and then there's so much poverty, and you think you're going to get away with it? It's Judgment Day. It is Judgment Day. And unless all of us decide, and I keep saying it, and we'll never tire of saying it, unless all of us decide that we cannot continue business as usual, we are going to be having these kind of things. People like us are going to be having headaches doing newspaper reviews on a daily basis, because what is there to review every time but bad news? So what we have a situation in the north. We hope it doesn't degenerate. In Abuja, he says police from the Federal Capital Territory Command disrupted the protest by some northern youths in the territory. They arrested 7 persons, including 2 journalists. The 2 journalists were later released. One of the journalists, Busaya Tosin, who was released, said, some police officers approached me to ask those who were protesting. I told them I am a journalist. I came here to work, and they arrested about 5 protesters. They walked up to me and asked me to get into their vehicle. I did. They checked my camera to see what I had recorded. That in itself is illegal. I hope the NUJ will take this up. I was then driven to the Gudu police station and we were questioned. We were about to write a statement and were later informed that we'd be transferred to the command. We were later released after the intervention of a DCP, and so on. So you have the punch. The punch has the punch has the stories here. Lai Mohammed is saying something here. He says that no president has funded security agencies like Buhari. He might be right. He might be right. But the question is, has Buhari monitored to what use those funds are being used? You know, you remember there are some people on trial as we speak. You understand? Has he monitored? Okay. Has he put in place systems that make to make sure that the monies were appropriately used? Mm. That is the question. You know? And it says here, Lai Mohammed says, despite the security challenge, no president in the history of Nigeria has funded security agencies like Buhari. And he argued that despite economic challenges. And he said, former President Olusegun Obasanjo had said Buhari had done his best to proffer solutions to the security challenges confronting the nation, adding that Nigerians should not expect more from him, as this would be tantamount to whipping a dead horse. But Mohammed said no administration had provided security agencies with the hardware needed to tackle the security as that of Buhari. He goes on to say, yes, banditry and kidnapping have added to the state of insecurity. President Buhari has also continued to provide quality leadership in order to ensure that our security agencies decisively tackle the canker one. Well, the rest is propaganda as usual. Let's go on to the next one.
Okay, let's move on to the next story. Second base.
Yeah, because it's not so much what you tell us, it's what we see.
So what a lot of people are actually even displeased with in that press conference is that no sooner than elder statesman, former President Olusegun Obasanjo, Sultan Saadu Abubakar III, and the rest of, you know, elites got together to talk about issues between the country, and the president, former President Obasanjo, says something like what you just read, like President Buhari has done everything that he can, like he's capable of doing, that the present security situation will not get better because there's nothing the president can offer anymore to bring succor to those affected by insecurity. That what Nigerians should hope for right now is that, you know, the next person coming in, or we still have a nation before the next person comes in, but if we have a nation before the next person comes in, the next person should be able to, you know, have that wherewithal to be able to, you know, harmonize and gather all the security operatives to make sure that we nip the insecurity situation in the bud if we want to keep Nigeria together. That's what the elites, former President Goodluck Jonathan Obasanjo said earlier this week. Then Minister Lai Mohammed called a press conference and responded to that, saying that it's absurd to think that, you know, security is worse now, you know, than in 2015. That security is better now, you know, that in 2015, because President Buhari had bought so many hardware for the military and everything. And people were saying, look, the hardware will not use themselves. Like, seriously, if you like, put every hardware in the world inside this country. If you have low morale, the military, or you have no strategy, you know, those hardwares would just be wasted for nothing. That's what...
I was trying to give a measured response to what you just said. Then I realized that I'm on radio.
Yeah.
So I will keep them to myself. I might issue a private statement so I can be held responsible for what I'm going to say.
That's a billionaire.
No, it is even more than that. It is more than that. Nigeria is made up of 200 and something million Nigerians.
That's right. That's right.
All of us cannot be fools. All of us cannot be idiots. And that is what people in government need to understand. You might think that the average Nigerian might not be educated, but then get street sense. Only one of the comments I would have made, I will make now.
Okay.
When Nigerians are complaining about the imbalance in terms of the hierarchy of the security forces, when you don't have a notable security chief from the East, for example, what do you think the personnel who are from the East, what do you think, how devoted do you think they will be to this country?
Point.
Do you understand?
Yes, I do.
Don't run away from the country that you are. You are in a country where little things like this matter. If I'm an Igbo general or I'm an Igbo brigadier, how do you think I would feel under this current security when I can't look up and see any service chief of my own person? We talk about these things day and night and people shy away from the truth. You can buy all the quick equipment that you want. What is most important, what is most significant is one, the training of your personnel, and two, for you to get their loyalty. For you to get their loyalty, it is a matter of give and take. You have to earn people's loyalty by doing the right thing. So I can understand Alhaji Lai Mohammed's problem. I can understand it. And Alhaji Lai is somebody I'm going to go after. After he's left government, I must spend a day with him so that he can tell me his memoirs, unrecorded. Because I understand his plight. I've known Alhaji Lai Mohammed professionally since 1980. We are not personal friends, but we are professional friends. And sometimes I have a lot of sympathy for him. But let those who believe that they can fool 200 and something million Nigerians, let them continue along this path. And we shall see where it will all end. It's as simple as that.
Okay. All right. Let's go to page 20 of the Punch. There's a story here that says, case rise, 107 inbound passengers test positive for COVID-19 in 1 week.
At about 3:30 this morning, I got a note from a very, very close friend of mine, a childhood friend of mine. He had caught COVID. I sat up in my bed and realized that in the last 24 hours, that's number 10 that I know personally. Now, we have some figures going around that shows that there is a rise. Those figures are not a true reflection. 3/4 of you who feel you have malaria and run to the nearest chemist, you better go do a COVID test. 3/4 of you who cough and have something that looks like catarrh and whatever, that looks like a flu. As soon as I had the flu on Saturday, I had my flu. The first thing I told my doctor, Dr. Gbeche, is that I'd like to run a COVID test. So you start the elimination from above.
Yeah.
There is somebody who even did the COVID test, tested negative, went further again, and then he tested positive. We are in a deep mess as far as COVID is concerned. The luck that we have is that the current strain is giving flu-like.
Exactly.
Don't go by government figures. Know that even the man sitting next to you could jolly well have COVID. You need to be very, very careful. I beg of you. If you don't want to be vaccinated, fair enough. But do not believe that there is no COVID. And also remember, that the smallest of sicknesses, sometimes it can start as a common cold, can lead to a complete disaster. I know a man who extracted his tooth in the morning, was able to eat one more in the afternoon. By night, he was dead. So even the simplest, what happened? He just had a headache. If you have the slightest, if you feel the slight unwell, there are some tests, not all these tests I need to let you know, are the 50,000 naira ones I will show if you have COVID. They are much, in fact, in the UK, they give them home kits for free. Where you can quickly test yourself and know if you have COVID. So please go to the general hospital, whatever, once you feel unwell. And then start wearing masks. I understand the plight of the governor. And I understand the plight of those who rule us. But one thing I can tell you is this. If you love your life, stay away from social events for now.
30 December.
If you love your life and you love yourself, let me tell you, COVID can be picked up from the simplest of things. Even from a door handle, even in a damfo, you've worn your mask and everything, you have to hold the seat because you ran into a bomb. You could contract COVID through there. So you need to be careful. Go out at the barest minimum. Wear your mask. The reason why you wear your mask is simple. So that, amongst all other reasons, you don't put your hand to your face or your nose, your nasal area, indiscriminately. Okay, and the reason why we keep telling you to sanitize your hands, of course, is very, very obvious. But COVID is real and it is on the rampage. I beg of you, please, it is on the rampage. COVID is real. Wear your mask. Sanitizers cost next to nothing. Always carry a small one in your pocket. Don't shake anybody. Even go vex. When in the vest, they go.
May the vest,
huh?
May the vest, no.
But did I shake you this morning?
No.
Are you sure?
I don't think I want to shake you either.
No, but I think I...
No. I did not. No, I did not.
And they give me sanitizers.
It's some there.
We're
on camera. Let's take another story. Let's take another story. Page 34. FG begins payment of increased police salary January.
This salary is going to mean absolutely nothing because Mama puts in the barracks is waiting. What I think we need to do, I'm happy that at least we are making an attempt, but we need a more robust approach to the issue of welfare for the police. For God's sake, go to the Naval barracks, go to the Army barracks. The police barracks is an eyesore. If you treat a man like an animal, he behaves like one. The police go to the Naval barracks. Go to the Army barracks. Go to the Air Force barracks. And then go to the police barracks. Let it be that a man who is recruited as a policeman looks forward to going to the quartermaster general to be fully kitted, down to shoes. He reports at the quarter general master with his little suitcase. He's given two pairs of uniform, shoes, socks, belt, this and that. His baton and his helmet and everything. Let it be that when you go into the police college, you report to duty with a clean white singlet, white. The hostel is clean everywhere because they say cleanliness is godliness. The first thing, before you can train a man to go do a security job, you have to discipline him to look good. I've lived with soldiers before. I know what it is. I remember my uncle I lived with in Benin. He always used to look out. Back in the 70s, I lived with Major Makondu. And he said, button up, my friend. Button up, my friend. Adjust your belt. What do you think? When you have parade every morning, that's what it is for. But look at the way our policemen look. I brought one gentleman here. He was even too afraid to say anything. You remember the policeman we brought?
That's right.
You buy your own uniform, one uniform. You should be able to kit a policeman down to the boxers that he's wearing. Nobody say make you wear a fine uniform, but make boxers they smell. You know? Okay. Give them pride in their job. Then train them properly. I mean, when I stand next to policeman, the first time I stood next to a New York policeman, Omar, the guy was... First of all, the way the guy looked from top to bottom.
Yeah.
Clean. Well, you know. Let them have pride in their job.
Do you support? Because I'm looking at everything you said and the New York police officer you said. And that picture just flashed in front of me.
Flash in front of you, yes.
How well they are kitted. They look healthy. They look neat. They look awesome. You want to become a policeman. My uncle is a sheriff, by the way.
That's where you people got your name.
No, that's not.
Your name
I'm just saying that my uncle is a sheriff. So anytime I see him, you know, well kitted up, I'm like, oh yeah, that's my guy right there. You know, you feel proud.
So invariably now you have.
Let me learn now.
Let me quickly announce your new name.
God, don't do more good God.
Your name is Nephew Sheriff. Okay, go on, Nephew Sheriff. Go on.
So I'm thinking Obagbana says something like we need something called security tax. If the government can't fund the security architecture in this country properly, adequately, do we need such tax to be able to
But look at what we have in Lagos.
Security trust fund in Lagos.
Yes. You don't need the security tax, you have the security trust fund. Yes. And then to be fair, look at how well kitted the RRS are. To be fair to Lagos State, look at how well kitted the RRS are. Their vehicles, And you can see, even though they said they can like small Roger, but look at how well kitted and how confident the RRS are when you see them. That's the way to go. So it's not enough to. I'm happy that okay, you've added a bit more money, which of course within 2 months will be decimated. But we need to have a completely new approach to policing. No, and if it means even cutting the numbers, take a lot of them off. Look at some of those who are on VIP duty. See how well kitted they look.
More often than not.
And see how you can even see it in their disposition.
That's right.
Dressed like Mopole, starts, right. Everything. Mm. That is what I expect to see of the average police.
All right, so we must go now. We must go. We've done a fantastic job this morning.
Thank you.
What's coming up at 9?
At 9, we want to start. I want to start something new to give hope to the youth.
Okay.
I'm bringing 2 young people here. We are going to look at what happened in Ondo State. And we are going to start some kind of thing that will begin to say no to such things.
All right, then.
We must give our young people some.
That's coming out at 9. We must go now. Good morning to you, Lagos. We'll be back.
Oh, more. It's so easy to learn anything today. That's how my little niece of yesterday tied my gele for me like a pro.
99.3 Nigeria Info. We are more than just radio. Subscribe to our YouTube channel at Nigeria Info FM. Check us out on Facebook at Nigeria Info 99.3. Follow us on Twitter at Nigeria Info FM and on Instagram at Nigeria Info FM Lagos for live updates as it happens. 99.3 Nigeria Info. Let's talk.